Father, we're so thankful for your goodness in our lives, Lord. We're so thankful for your faithfulness, Lord. Even when we wasn't faithful, you were faithful. Lord, we just want to say how much we appreciate you and love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the grace of God in our lives. We just ask, Lord, you'll be with us this evening, this weekday service. This may something be said to strengthen hearts and lives. Ask, Lord, your forgiveness to just move through us, Lord. Your blood just wash over us, we pray. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you and this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Just want to welcome all of our visitors here with us. Amen. Also those that have been gone back with us. We're glad to have everyone back that is here tonight. Amen. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and to come together and put our licks of fire and just take a breath of fresh air for a moment. Amen. Been out in the world and dealing with the things of the world and all the spirits that are around, but it's good to come into his presence just with believers and, amen, build an atmosphere where all things are possible. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, for the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We believe, we also believed, and therefore speak." Amen. God bless you. Be seated. I'd like to speak this evening on a thought of faith released. Amen. Faith released. You know, if we're born of the Spirit of God, Brother Branham said it like this. He said, God doesn't have little weak parts and big strong parts. He's altogether God. And if you had enough of God in you till it was just barely a shadow, that's enough power to make a new earth. That's enough power to make a new moon and a new system. It's God and it's strong, every part. And right now, every believer in here has eternal life, which is God's Spirit in you, is enough power that will raise up the dead, that will heal the sick, that will set orbits in condition, but it's controlled by a law. And that Spirit that's in you, your sons and daughters of God, and that same Spirit that you got now in you will raise you up again on the day of resurrection. Jesus said when he was here on earth, when he died, his soul descended into hell, and he preached to the spirits that were in the prison, souls in prison, that repented not in the long-suffering days of Noah. He went into the grave, but before he died, he commended his spirit into the hands of God. And his spirit went to God. His soul went to hell. His body went to the grave. And Jesus was barred out from resurrection until the scripture could be fulfilled. He could not come back because he had to stay in the grave 3 days and three nights. 3 days and nights. And when the scripture was all fulfilled, then this bar was taken away, and his spirit descended to his soul and his soul to his body, and he rose again. And he said, when we die, our souls will go on the altar of God, where I was privileged to see a few mornings ago, as you know, in a vision where the Bible speaks of our spirits will go to God who gave it, and our bodies shall return to the dust of the earth. But someday the bar is going to be taken off and the scripture is going to be fulfilled, and our spirits will be released from God, and our spirits will pick up the soul and the soul to the body, and the power that will raise us up is right, but that power that will raise us up is right in us now. We are now in heavenly places. We are now in the power of the resurrection. But if there wasn't a law that said sons and daughters, if there wasn't a law that would hold it to a certain place, sons and daughters of God would create a world out there and go live a private life on it. You have the power in you, but if you got a shadow of the power of God, you got power to do it because God is omnipotent. As we talked about the eclipse the other day, just a sliver of the sun, you couldn't look at it because that, in that little sliver was just as much power as the whole sun. Amen. It just seemed like that to your natural eyes. You could not look at it. Amen. But that's the way God is. Just if you have just a shadow, maybe tonight you don't feel like you're very much and you don't feel like you're very great or you don't feel like you're much of anything. But if you have a shadow of God in you, there's enough power in you to defeat every devil. Amen. To heal every sick, to save the lost. There's power in the name of Jesus and in the body of Christ. Amen. The power that's in you, you could speak a world into existence and go live on it. There you are. But that power is in the church right now, but it's controlled by a law. And that law is faith. Amen. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, then it's yours. So every place the sole of your feet can stand upon and stand there by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. It's your possession. If you can find the key to this law of faith, it'll open up to you. You see what I mean? The power, amen, if you're sons of God or you're daughter of God, that never leaves you. That never leaves you. It might feel like it left you. It may not feel like you got it. But if the power is on the inside of you, it never leaves you. Amen. Your faith may get away from it, but that power is still there. And when you were saved, God gave you faith. Amen. What is it? To rise out of the muck of the earth. Your faith overcome the things that were in the world. It was your faith that overcome smoking. It was your faith, amen, that overcome the things of sin and all the things that the devil had you bound with. What was it? It was your faith. Your faith in that act that God did for you to make you a son of God. You quit your lying, you quit your stealing, you quit your smoking. Why? Your faith rose you up above it. Amen. If you don't do it, you don't have any faith. If that hadn't happened, faith, because by faith are you saved, and then through grace. Amen. And as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. As much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have, because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. Amen. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. There you are. It's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Amen. You hear the law in there. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And as much as you can believe, that's how much possible you can have. Amen. See, all things are possible. Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe what you said, it will be cast into the sea. He said, but what kind of people ought we to be? Having faith in this great redeeming Christ that lives in us, this smitten rock that never leaves the church. Hallelujah, that never leaves the church. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That ever present, that great gusher of salvation. Amen. He's talking about the smitten rock in the wilderness. He said some people want to paint it just a little trickle. He said if it wasn't just a little trickle that watered thousands and millions of people and all their livestock, it was a gusher. Amen. It was an unimaginable force that would come out of that rock after Moses would smite it. And he said that rock was Christ. And in Christ is not just a trickle, it's a gusher. Amen. God wants to do more for the church than the church can even think or ask. God wants to do more for you than you can even think or ask. It's not just a trickle that we're asking for. We're asking for a gusher of the Spirit of God. Amen. Because all things are possible. Amen. In the presence of the Spirit of God. The power that poured forth from Calvary into the church. That ever presence of the living God. That great flowing smitten rock that goes with us in our journey. Now Israel had lost their faith. They'd got off their path. And they began to lust for the flesh pots of Egypt. And if they had stayed with faith and believing that God was going to take them to the land, there'd have been nothing hinder them. He said, you can
listen to this sermon. It's a very wonderful sermon. He says they begin to lust, think about the flesh pots of Egypt and the garlics and the leeks and all of that, and begin to long after that when they were eating angels' food. He said it's just like us today when we begin to long after other things and we got our mind on other things, and we'll say the preacher preaches too long, or this is going too long, or this ain't going the way. He said you're doing exactly like they did. It's time to bring our focus to back what's really important. Amen. That we must release our faith in the Word of God. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. The Word of God is still just as powerful today as it ever was. It'll still heal the sick. It'll still save the lost. It'll still open the eyes of the blind. It'll still set the vilest sinner clean. Amen. What is wrong? It's our faith. If we can let our faith loose in a perfect word, then it will bring forth the impossibles. Amen. Amen. They had already opened here. He said, what was they doing? They were longing after that, after they already seen the seas open. They'd seen the plagues that had fallen, and they crucified their enemies behind them, and they were walking to the land and still couldn't have enough faith to go on to the promise. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, that had the faith. And they were willing to release their faith. And what God has spoken, God said, I'm going to take you out of a land and I'm going to take you into a land. When Joshua and Caleb went over there looking, they weren't looking to see if there were giants. They weren't looking to see none of that. They could care less about any of that. I can tell you what Joshua and Caleb were doing. They were looking about, where is my spot in this land? Where is my inheritance in this land? Where am I going to build my house? Where am I going to have my... And Caleb said, I want that mountain up there. I want... Well, Caleb, there's giants. I don't care about giants. God said that's my land. God said that's who that belongs to me. I could care less if there's 1, 5, 10, 1,000. It makes no difference, because my God said I could have it. Amen. I believe there's Joshua and Caleb's in this message that'll look at the Word of God, and they're not looking to see, well, where are the giants at? We know there's giants. We know there's enemies. I'm looking to say, where's my spot? Where's my inheritance? Where am I going to build my house? Amen. We're more than conquerors. This is what the release of faith that came from Caleb and Joshua's mouth. What do you mean we're not able? What do you mean is when it's not possible? God said it's possible. So what do you mean it's not possible, amen, for somebody to still get saved? God said it's possible. What do you mean it's not possible for somebody to get so drunk on the Holy Ghost they don't even know where they're at no more? God said it's possible. Amen. I don't care how many giants want to sit on and say it ain't possible. God said, he said, that's the trouble with the church. He said, we can conquer every disease. We got the power in us. We're sons and daughters of God. Nothing can stand before us. Amen. Hello, somebody. Nothing can stand before us. One only thing, he wants to find somebody who will believe what God has already done. Not we will be, we are now. Not I'm going to be a conqueror, I am a conqueror. Not I'm going to be an overcomer, I am an overcomer. Not I'm going to be healed, I am healed. Not I'm going to be delivered, I am delivered. Not I'm going to be set free, I am set free. Not we will be, we are now. So it's time that we quit, we throw away our next service religion. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it's Sunday or Wednesday or Friday or Saturday. You know how it is at a meeting sometimes. Oh, I can't wait to Saturday night. That's when we're going to have the prayer. Why wait? We don't have to wait no more. They had to wait in the upper room. But waiting is over with. The power is here. God is among us. Jesus is walking in our midst. He's in the midst of his church. There's no more waiting for the power. It is here. There's no more waiting for the Holy Ghost. It's here. There's no more waiting for the redeeming love of Almighty God. It's here. Amen. We are. We are now. And the ever-living presence of the Spirit is with us. There you are. God said, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. Right. So God in creation created the world by his thought first. And then he spoke it. And thought expressed became material. See what I mean? And if that same spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, let there be trees, and there was trees, and if that same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much more can it say, let there be no cancer? Well, one day. No, this is the day. One day we'll get there. No, this is the day. Amen. It will be gone. He said, let there be cancer and it'll be gone. No cancer and it'll be gone. Let the eyes be open and it'll be so. It's your thoughts. See, verily. Do you say, well, that was Jesus. That was the prophet. Wait a minute. He said, have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you. How many yous are in the building? All right. Verily I say unto you. How many yous are in the building? Amen. I know there'd be a lot of yous if I said you got $100 million tonight. I'm a you. This is more than $100 million. $100 million would be here today and gone tomorrow. But this is eternal value. Amen. He said, I say unto you, you say to this mountain. Not get a prophet and say it, or not get Jesus and say it. You say to this mountain. He didn't say, I say unto you, I say to this mountain. No, he said, I say unto you, if you say to this mountain. So there has to be a release of faith. Amen. It is done by coming from a thought to a word. And words have power. We can go into that. Preached on it before. I mean, negative words, positive words, they all got power. There's a power in confession because, remember, the prophet of God would teach us he can't do for you until you confess he's already done it. So there has to be a release, amen. What power has been given to the church? He said, don't doubt in your heart. Believe what you say will come to pass. You'll have whatever things you say. You say, you shall have it, not me. You shall have it. Now, you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it and express it in word form, and the word takes a hold and becomes material, a thought expressed, oh my. See, if your heart and your mind is so filled with God's Spirit, until your thoughts are his thoughts, and his thoughts are your thoughts, and your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving through your mortal being. What kind of people should we be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the very Holy Spirit has so embodied you and empowered you that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinions, but the Holy Spirit, amen, so you can build into your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you. What kind of church would we be? That's the kind of church I want to be. What kind of people would we be? That's the kind of people I want to be. Until you didn't even use your own mind. Ooh, boy, that goes against theology today. Don't even use your mind, but use his mind. Be led by the Spirit of God. And they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Then when the human element goes out, the Spirit fills that vacancy where you empty yourself out, and then you will be when the church and his power and resurrection of the Lord Jesus will walk in his steps and his power and his thoughts and his being and his moving. See what I mean? Then your thoughts will become words and your words will become materialized. That's the church in power. Well, you say, well, I have faith to believe. I believe, but you're afraid to let it loose. What good does it do to have a bird have wings if you don't ever let him out of a cage? He's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. He's going to forget one day even how to even, he even has wings if you leave him in there long enough. But, you know, what good does it do to have a bird with wings and you don't ever let him out of his cage? Wing doesn't do him any good in the cage. He's got to get out and throw his wings out. In this church, there's enough faith to heal every person here. There's enough faith, but we are afraid to get out of the cage. Get out of the cage. Don't feed your bird more food. You can feed your bird ever such orthodox food, and you're going to psychology and intellectualism or whatever. If you don't let him out of the cage, what good is it going to do him? It ain't your food. It's turn him loose. He's not a God of history. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me ask you this. When did our God lose his power? He never lost it, and he never will. When did he lose his ability to save somebody? He never has lost it, and he never will. But the blood is still just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was shed on Calvary. Amen. I think about this, and I got it a little later. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But I think about Abraham, who had such faith. We call him the father of faith. But yet he was looking through the smoke of bulls and goats. He was looking through, amen, types and shadows, yet he still had faith to believe in the impossible. How much more should we have faith when we're not looking through types and shadows? We're not looking through bloods of bulls and goats, but we have the blood of the risen Lamb among us and the Son of God visible among us. How much more faith should we be able to release? He's not a God of history. What's the use of talking about a Holy Ghost the apostles had that helped and blessed people then, but he don't do that today? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is, and he will be forevermore. The Pharisees read the same Bible the apostles read, but they didn't have faith to put it into practice. Every denomination reads the same Bible. But somebody's got to have faith enough that'll step out and take the word of it and stand upon it. That's what we need, somebody to practice what they believe. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Doesn't do you any good to have faith. You say, well, I believe that's the Bible. Well, if it's the Bible, it's got promises. And if you believe that's to be true, the only thing you have to do is let your faith loose and practice what you believe. Amen. This is what he says here when he's dealing with handkerchiefs. Now listen to this. He said, when you get these letters and you got a handkerchief on your, and you put that handkerchief on your underneath garment, if there's any sin in your life, ask God to forgive you. Amen. And ask if there's anything that you've done wrong and go make it right. And if your pastor believes in healing, have him there with you. But if there's no pastor, get some of the Christians in the neighborhood and pray and believe and then act as if it's already done. You remember that faith without works is dead. It'll do no good. When you become a Christian, you come and confess Jesus to be your Savior, believe it. When you go outside, your critic, fair friend say, well, I don't see no difference in you. But you believe there is anyhow. Then you go acting like there is. Then after a while, everybody knows that there is. Hallelujah. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He can't do nothing for you till you first accept it and you confess it, and he'll make your body, your nature come to subject to this word. You must act like it's already done. Hey, well, Brother Timothy, I'm just acting. No, you're acting, you're releasing your faith in a word that's already spoken. This is what Brother Branham would talk about when he was sick with that sickness of his stomach. And the doctor said if he ate another bait of onions and something, or beans and onions, it would kill him. And he said, well, let me have them. I believe God's healed me. What was he doing? He was putting footsteps to his faith. You can say, I can believe it, I believe it, I believe it. But he started putting footsteps to it. He started putting action to it. He started putting works to it. Come on. He started putting action, and he put them beans and that onion down. All of a sudden, his stomach started belching, started coming up, and he put it back down. Thank God for healing me. He was saying it as if it was already done. And somebody would say, Brother Branham, what are you doing? You're lying. He said, I'm not lying. He said, because I'm not confessing my feelings. I'm confessing what the Word said. That's the devil that wants to twist it on you and say, well, if you do that, you'll lie. You'll make a mockery of Christ. You'll make a stain on his name. No, you won't. You're only confessing what his Word said. His Word said I'm healed. His Word said I'm delivered. His Word said I'm an overcomer. His Word said I'm a son. His Word said I'm a daughter of the Most High God. That's what his Word said. Back in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Revelations in the New, God constantly was a miracle-working God. Amen. When people were ready to step out and believe him, when Moses prayed and then stepped towards the Red Sea, it opened. Amen. Did you hear me? It's a quote. When the priest stepped into the water of Jordan, it peeled back from one side to the other. We got to make a step. We've got to try. We've got to put forth our efforts to show him we're sincere. For it's written in the Bible that faith without works is dead. Now we can read the Bible, faith without works is dead. But then Brother Brown would take it and he would preach, works is faith expressed. And he would take it from the story of Abraham when he would offer up Isaac. And he would go, you know, God would, the Bible said, tempt him and ask him to go offer his only son. And he went up there, took it up there, and he began to walk there early that morning with that son and that mule and a little bit of, you know, a wood. And Isaac looked around and said, well, Daddy, I just see the wood. Where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. What was he doing? He was already expressing his faith. When he spoke that, there was a faith released. Amen. And so he gets up there and he lays his only son down and he goes to pull back the knife and an angel grabs him and says, don't slay your own. I provided a lamb. He turns around and there's one caught in the bush. Amen. What was it? It was because his faith was released that it brought a creative power and it placed one there in his time of need. And he said, Paul, and works as faith expressed. Brother Brandon would bring it from two angles. He'd bring it from Paul and he'd bring it from James. He said, Paul would say that Abraham was justified by faith. And James would say that Abraham was justified by works. He said, now the scriptures don't clash together. He said, but what Paul was speaking about was what God saw. He said, what James was speaking about is what you do so men can see your faith. Come on, somebody. Amen. You can say all you want to, you believe, but show me that you believe. You can say you believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but show me you believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith works as faith expressed. Works show that faith has really taken hold. Amen. Let me go on down here. He says, see, Abraham believed God. Let me back up a little bit. Now, two men that were talking on faith. Paul justified Abraham by what God saw in Abraham. James justified Abraham by what man saw in Abraham. He said, now James said he was justified by works. Paul said he's justified by faith. But see, Abraham believed God and what God saw in him, he believed it. But then when he went to acting as though it was already done, that's what man saw in him. Hallelujah. There had to be an action. So we could know Abraham believed what God said. So therefore, he would get up early in the morning. He'd wake up his only son. He would carry him out to a hill. And he would bring the mule and the wood. And he would bring all that and place him upon the altar. What was it? It was his works in action showing his faith that he believed God was going to provide. God gave me this son. And God will not take him from me. And if he does, he's able to raise him up again. And it's the same thing as it is to us because our works
express what faith we have. But if we're afraid to act on what we believe, then we don't believe it. Well, I believe it. No, you don't. If you're not acting upon it, you don't believe it. You've got to believe it. Abraham's works was expressing his faith that he had in God's promise. Abraham, remember, he was 90 years old, 100 years old. And Sarah, 90 years old. Now they were stricken in age, past childbearing, and been for many, many years. And they lived together as husband and wife since they were young, no children. But yet, God told him when he was 75 years old, you're going to have a baby. And he believed God's promise, and he believed it, and he believed it. But what? Not only did he believe it, he made ready for it. He made ready for it. And that's what God saw that he believed. Men saw what he did to express what he believed. And the same thing that works today, same way it is with us. If it's been revealed to him, if it's been revealed so he believed it to be so, he was acting as though it's already done. It's already taken place. It's not up to me to fulfill it. It's up to God to fulfill it. It's up to me to do what I can do as a human, showing I believe what he said. Abraham believed and had faith, but there had to be an action to his faith. There had to be something that could show he really believed what he said. Amen. Now God waited till Abraham got past what he could do. He couldn't do anything no more. He couldn't produce it if he wanted to produce it. She couldn't produce it if she wanted to produce it. Because when he told him it was going to happen, he produced one on his own. But that wasn't what God was talking about. God had a promise, son. It was to come through Sarah. Not of his own manufactured ideas or her ideas. It was to come by the choosing of Almighty God at the time God had ordained it. And it goes beyond our thinking and our timing and how we think it ought to be and when we think it ought to happen. And it gets beyond what we can do, then God does. Hallelujah. If you are acting upon the faith that God has placed inside of you. The word of God is a seed, and it must have a ground prepared. If you sowed a seed, just threw it out on the ground, it wouldn't be no good. Birds probably pick it up. Some thistles and thorns choke it out pretty soon. Jesus is talking about that in this parable. The ground has to be made ready first. Well, you know how it is. You go to plant a flower garden, you don't just throw some flowers in the middle of some grass. No, you dig it all up, you degrass it, you prepare it, you do all the things you need to do, put the ground cover on, because you want it to succeed. Is that not your desire you want when you plant? You paid a lot of money for that. So you want it to succeed. You want it to come to life. You want it to bear forth fruit. You want it to bear forth flowers, whatever it's going to do. So you're going to give it every opportunity it can have to do what it's supposed to do. And this is what God's word is a seed. So when he has a word that goes forth, he wants it to fall in a place that's prepared because he wants it to bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth. So he wants to give it every chance that it's got. He wants to do everything that he's got to do to prepare the ground, amen, for it to come to pass. So the ground has to be made ready, and God in his sovereign grace prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge. Some people get the idea that God don't know what choices we're going to make. Well, then he ain't God. Throw him over there with the rest of the idols. They don't know either. But he is God. And why is God? Because he's omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all of that. He knows every gnat that bats his eye. He knows it all. Every blade of grass, every hair on your head, he knows all about it. So, because he's God. So he knows, he foreknew you by his foreknowledge, and he ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore he prepared you.
He had a word for you. And he had a word that was going to fall upon a certain time, at a certain day, maybe in a certain service, or maybe in your living room or your car somewhere. But God prepared your heart to receive the word because he wants it to bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth. He said, that's the reason we stagger out of those things and we stagger to where we are now. It's God leading you to the place where he's ordained you to be. Or this ground isn't prepared beforehand, it can't grow. That's the reason the seed of faith. When we're preaching faith, see the discernment of the Lord, see what takes place. All the gifts of the Bible working, people work themselves. Oh, hallelujah, I believe it. Come up and find themselves disappointed. See, the ground has to be foreordained, and you know when it strikes it. You know when it strikes it. Sin you were trapped in, see, by your first prayers. Adam and Eve, you became a sinner by nature. You didn't want to be, but now you heard the gospel. And faith fell upon good ground. The seed fell upon good ground. It was an ear that could hear. Amen. A revelation come by hearing. And there was a little something on the inside of you. Amen. That went poof. Yeah, yeah. Just like when he said, let there be. Yeah. And all of a sudden, poof. And light bursted forth. It's no different than when he said, let there be a son. Let there be a daughter. And Satan will try to cover you up with all kinds of weeds. He tried to cover you up with all kinds of doubt and unbelief, but the weeder came through one night. Started pulling it out of your life. What was he doing? He was preparing you for the word to fall in place. That's why something on the inside went poof. That seed come to life. Another man sitting right beside you. Oh, I don't believe that stuff. Nonsense. I don't believe it. Nothing to that. Same as they did on the day of Pentecost. Some came to life. Some laughed and scorned. That's right. Yeah, these men are full of new wine. Bunch of holy rollers. And it was a great thing to those it was happening to. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's a great thing to those it is happening to. Others laugh, others, and while others rejoice. It's an individual revelation, which is faith. Faith that's revealed. If it wasn't faith, then it wouldn't even be there. It was faith. They're just the seeds have to have the ground prepared for. Therefore, all he foreknew, he called. All he called, he foreknew, he predestinated. All he foreknew, did he call? He called, he justified, and all the justified is glorified. There's nothing out of order. It's the word, 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 word. He said, oh, that should make you so happy. That's the trouble we're with today. So much different than the Christians of old. With the true revelation of Jesus Christ being Emmanuel, dwelt in the hearts of the men, they were rugged people with rugged faith. He said, but we have been patted down by too many denominational ideas. Oh, I tell you, I got the revelation, or I got the revelation. You're dependent on their revelation. He said, if their revelation isn't according to the word of God, then it's wrong. Mine or yours, he said. And I'm so thankful we got a prophet in this day that we ain't got to pass out a new Bible. I ain't got nothing for a prophet who had to write another Bible. Of a special revelation. If it ain't found in here, it's not a revelation from God. But we had a prophet come in this day, 7th grade Kentuckian, and open up this Bible and make it live. People want to walk away today and call him all kind of things and do what they do. They're playing their part. They're doing what they're playing who they are. Sorry to say it that way, but that's just the way it is. I always come to the same conclusion. Where are you going to go? That's where Peter came to. Where are we going to go? Where else is there? Who else has the words of eternal life? You're going to go to 40,000 other denominations and figure it all out? Where are you going to go? But the seed has to fall on good ground so there can be a release. That's what went with the story of the eagle. We don't have time to go through it. It was in the chicken yard. What was it? It was something that struck him. All the other eagles heard it.
They might have looked up for a little while. They might have shouted for a little while. They might have run around the chicken pen for a little while. They might have done all kinds of things for a little while. But after a while, it didn't mean nothing to them no more. But that little eagle, it meant something to him. He realized what that is there is what I am. And what I am here is what I need to be there. That's the word of God that screamed forth into your life. It was an eagle scream. Screamed out and said, I have a son. I have a daughter in this dark world. They might have been covered up with sin and unbelief and every kind of idea of man, but there was a scream that could pierce every sin. There was a scream that could pierce through every denominational idea, through everything the devil had tried to bar, and the bar was taken off. So there could be a release. When the prophet of Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Now, that was quite astounding. Yeah, what a statement. A virgin shall conceive. What a strange saying. How a man in his right mind could ever say that? There'd never been a virgin conceived before. A virgin shall conceive. He didn't worry about saying it. He just said it. How's she going to do it? Not his business. It's just to say what God said he's going to do. Just the same God tells you other things, and you know it's revealed of God. And they may say, well, doctors may say it can't happen. Doesn't matter what a doctor says. If God said it, it's going to happen. When God said it's going to happen, it depends on what kind of word that falls in. Remember, the prophet stood up there and his word went forth. Like in Genesis, let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that. And it created and it came to pass. Amen. What was it? It was words going out and being expressed and brought a release. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. What was it? Moses. Let Moses speak for us. Let God just stay there. He said, if I'll not speak to them like that no more, I'll raise up a prophet. And here's a prophet standing, and he's under inspiration. He isn't thinking about his intellectual. Now, wait a minute. If I say this, people are going to think I'm insane. If he'd have did that, he was listening to Eve's interpreter. But as long as a doctor says you can't live and you can't get well and you can't do that and you can't do this, as long as you listen to that, that seed will never fall into the kind of ground and do any kind of good. But when something tears all that away and it falls in that bedding ground, there's something that can tear it out now. There's a spirit of God. No matter how long it takes, it didn't matter. He said, a virgin shall conceive. And God foreknew the woman, who she would be, what her name was, and when she would be there. And from a little womb would come forth this greatest miracle that had ever happened on the face of the earth. God knew about it. And he revealed it to his prophet, and his prophet spoke it, and that word went out until it found a bedding ground. Amen. What if this man or this woman sitting here, or somebody try to reason? Well, I've been crippled all these years. Doctor says there's no possible chance. Well, there might not be as far as he knows. But if something can tear away those weeds. See, doubt tries to grow up in your bed and ground. And it tries to crowd out the light. That's what weeds do. They actually come up and they grow faster. And they can grow sometimes almost 50 to 1, seems like a weed can. Just cover up what you had planted. And if there ain't a power there, they can say, hey, weed, get out of the way. Pull it up and throw it to the wayside. It'll actually pull out the light. And it'll cause that little plant to start shriveling up because it ain't getting the sunlight. It ain't getting the water it's supposed to get. It ain't getting the nutrition it's supposed to get. But there's a power that comes along. Yeah, if you're a gardener, you're the power. And you decide, that's a weed, that's a weed, that's a weed, that's a weed. And you start pulling them up. And you, by your human intellectual ability, knows what you planted, knows what you didn't plant, knows what's a weed, knows what's not. And you start pulling it up.
Come on, somebody. Now, I learned something as a little fellow one time out in the garden. You know, my dad was wanting us to hoe some kind of plants. He said, if you get this row hoed, you can go fishing or something. I was like, boy, let me get that hoe. I'm gone. He's like, wait a minute now. Slow down. He said, first off, you're going to kill what's good. He said, second of all, you're just cutting it off at the surface. See, what you got to do with that hole, you got to get down deep and get that root out of there. Because in that root's the life, and if you don't get the root out, the thing's going to come right back up again. That's what we've done a lot with some of our hoeing that we've done around the message. We just kind of skimmed over the surface. And meanwhile, laying inside there's bitterness and unforgiveness and things. You ain't going to go in a rapture with it. But it's going to grow right back up in the most inopportune time, and it's going to put out the sun in your life. But if you'll grab the Word of God and dig down deep inside of you until you pull that thing out, you might feel like you're pulling for service after service after service, but sooner or later you're going to get to the end of it. And you can throw it to the side and say, it ain't got no more hold on me. It's finished. It's over with. There's something that can tear away the weeds. It can tear away the doubt that's been in your mind. It can tear away the confusion that wants to sit there and hold you bound. It can tear away all of that. There is a power in this building tonight that can tear every weed of Satan out by the roots. I found out when David was going to face Goliath, and you know, the challenge was given, if you kill me, we'll serve you. If I kill you, lying devil. Don't ever try to make no peace or some pledge with the devil. He ain't never going to keep up his end. What happened when Goliath fell? There they went. They ran. And here the Israelites are after them. And the Bible says they chased them to the gates of Ekron. You know what Ekron happens to mean? Torn up by the roots. Listen, because a little Philistine will be a big Philistine one of these days. That's the problem. We allow little stuff to remain simmer under the surface until finally it grows up and we blow up. We didn't want to deal with it. Deal with it. There is a power that will take out the weed in your life. He said there's a power that can tear away weeds if God by His grace, not the preacher, not anybody else but God, could place in your heart a revelation that says, I'm going to be well. I'm going to be well. There's nothing going to keep you from sitting there. There's nothing going to hold you there. You're going to be well. But until that does happen, you're going to sit right there where the doctor says you're going to sit. Until that happens, it has to be revealed. And God knew the woman it would come to. And there was no question. Isaiah didn't say, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. What do you say to me? A virgin I can see. Oh, wait now, Father. There's no such a thing. Well, he didn't hesitate. He said, a virgin shall conceive. And Mary receives this word. And she didn't say, now, Lord, wait a minute. You know, I never knowed a man. This is impossible. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't believe this. No, she never questioned. She said, how can these things be? Well, that's a question. Not to question the way you ask a question sometimes. But it was wanting to know, how are you going to reveal this? How is this going to be revealed? It wasn't a question of doubt. Because if it had been of doubt, she never would have received the promised son. Brother, I believe Brother Aaron brought this out not too long ago. Just moved right on over to Zechariah. He asked the same question. How is this going to be? It was a question of doubt. Apparently God knew it. He smote his mouth where the words came from. Said, you'll not speak until something, you know, until the child is born. Same question, but it was asked for different from the heart. Amen. Amen. He said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. That's how it's going to happen. She didn't question. She said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. No question. See, when God introduced the word by thought into the heart of Isaiah, it fell into a prepared ground. It didn't matter that it took hundreds of years, but it didn't matter that it took, will this ever be fulfilled? Listen, God's word will be fulfilled. It's not on our time and on our schedule. He's got it mapped out before the foundation of the world. He knows the perfect time to leave this world. He knows the perfect time for the body change. Because he knows how many names are on the book. We don't, but he does. We could go into Noah. Noah expressed to man what his faith was to God by building an ark. Moses expressed his faith to the Egyptians. Expressed his faith by the works to the Egyptians. Showed up there with a stick and a donkey. That's some works. To the mightiest army in the land. Didn't matter. He was showing what his faith was in God. And he spoke, let them go. And it was so. Moses, with his works, expressed the faith and the promise of God that he believed. And God smote the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because the word God has spoke to him on that mountain said, you'll come to this mountain again. He knew he was going back there. So he spoke what he believed. Hallelujah. We also know where we're going to at the end of this journey. God has promised there's a land beyond the river. Be fearless in your testimony. If it is revealed to you, you are fearless. You don't care what the world says. You're fearless. When it's revealed to you that this is the truth and it's coming from God, then you can be fearless. If not, you cannot be. David expressed to Goliath what his faith was in God. And he had a stone and he let it go. And it brought a giant down. What was it? It was his works that expressed his faith. Samson expressed his faith in God by picking up a dry bone and whipping 1,000 Philistines. Amen. What was it? It was him expressing his faith. Amen. And by works and showing what he believed. Amen. Well, let me read this part. He says, Samson caught out on a day off guard in the prairie, come 1,000 Philistines, and he looked down on the ground, and there was a mule that died, and he picked up that old jawbone, dry as it could be, and he took out after those Philistines, beating them over the head, one after another, and then Philistine helmets, probably an inch thick, didn't matter. He was expressing what God's word had spoke to him. But he took the jawbone of that mule and he beat down 1,000 Philistines. And the jawbone never broke. He just kept beating and beating and beating and beating till there wasn't another one to beat. Is that not us? Every day we're beating back devils. Every day we're picking up a promise and we're whooping devils. It might look like dry. It might look like it hadn't fulfilled nothing in a long time. Just pick it up anyhow and put it to work and it will defeat the devil in your life. And you'll beat and you'll beat. On Monday you'll beat and Tuesday you'll beat and Wednesday you'll beat. But one day. One day you're going to swing the last tie and you're going to knock the last devil down and you're going to step from this body into a new body. Sometimes he said, I want to tell you something else. Work on that pulsation. That spur of the moment like Joshua did, like Mary did, like just that moment. When something is revealed to you, grab it, hold it, don't let it go. Hallelujah. Don't let it go. Let me go on down here as we bring this down. So much here that we could go into, but there's a part here I want to look at. I can just find it. He says it here. He said, and to think that the Holy Spirit can lead a man and tell him things, make him act different, make him believe things and receive things that the world could never believe will happen. I'm a witness. I was a blind man once myself, practically had to be led, and now what am I talking about? That's the Holy Spirit. Oh, can't you feel that pulsation of the Spirit? It begins to rise in your heart. I love it when it begins to rise in a service and you know Jesus Christ is in our midst. Oh, yeah. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst of pulsations. Something begin moving like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. He said it's pumping energy into your spirit. It's pumping energy into your mind. It lets the things of your eyes see, but just black out. And you'll not see the things of the world no more. You're now believing what God said. No way to believe, move with fear, built an ark, though criticized. The old fellow must have been crazy to believe that. There ain't no clouds come. What's wrong with him? But with the unseen of the natural eye, with the spiritual eye turned to the word of God, he saw the rain falling before it fell. God had turned to our eyes, because there's destruction also coming in our day. It ain't rain coming, it's fire coming. God tune our hearts to the pulsation to where we can see the fire falling before it ever falls. He said we could so tune our heart. Let cast down reasons and tune down into the word of God, and see, we'll see revivals break forth and altars fill up and see the church packed out. And our hearts begin to pulsate under the power of the Holy Ghost. There'd be such prayer meetings. It'd have to happen, certainly. What was it? The church in tune. He said, what if the people here tonight, the sick, would just begin to think God is God? Just begin to think that God is God. See, what happens, you know, I know us young, a lot of young people is too far. You don't remember none of this, but back in the day, there used to be a dial on a radio that you had to tune back and forth to tune it just perfect to catch into the station you wanted to listen to. If you didn't, you got static or you got another station and they blended in and you're trying to get it just right. This is what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to our hearts. There's a dial there that he tries to grab a hold of if we'll let him, as we heard the song, I Surrender. And we allow him to come in and just tune it. And tune, what is he doing? He's tuning out the static in our lives. He's tuning out all the other voices in our lives. He's tuning out all the unbelief out of our lives. He's tuning out the thoughts and the worries and the frustration of the day on this Wednesday night. And he's coming down, and then the pulsation begins to rise in our heart. Jesus Christ is in our midst. Because he said, where two or three are gathered in his name, there I'll be. So I know he's here. And the pulsation begins to take place. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit that's tuning your heart. It's tuning to believe, and all of a sudden your mind goes from tomorrow, it goes from yesterday, and all of a sudden your mind hits the station. God is God. Then if God be God, then there ain't an enemy that can stand before us. If God is God, there ain't depression, there ain't sin, there ain't sickness, there ain't a devil in hell that stands a chance in this service tonight. If we can just get our hearts turned, all of a sudden it hits that station. Only believe. Only believe all things. Not some things, not maybe things, not might be things. All things are possible. It's a pulsation begin to rise. Something begins to take place and nothing will stop it. It'll be like a fire on a windy day. Know about that, don't you, Brother Joshua? Ain't nothing to get a fire like a wind. I know about it too, by just right over there, I know all about it. A wind can cause a fire to do some crazy things. Why do you think we want the service built in such a way? Why do you think we want the atmosphere of God? Because we want the wind of the Holy Ghost to blow through our midst. And if it happened to be just a little flame, it'll... And it consumes the whole place. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll just keep blowing as the Holy Spirit fans the fire. It just keep burning until it becomes a reality to you. God, Abraham, when he heard the word of God speak one day, that there was a city whose builder and maker was God, he couldn't see the city. He couldn't hear the sounds of the city. But he believed it. And I believe he's enjoying it tonight. God told Abraham that there was a city whose builder and maker was God. And he packed up everything he had and he started looking for that city. 25 years later, after the promised son had been given, he received it. That threw him an open gate to that city for Abraham and all his children. He couldn't see it. He wandered about in deserts and mountains and valleys in all kinds of conditions. But he was confessing, I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. But I'm looking for a city. And every born-again child tonight comes through Abraham's blessing. Woo, hallelujah. For it was the promise that was given to Abraham. It's to every child of God that receives the Holy Spirit. His pulsation is the same. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a new body. I'm looking for my healing. I'm looking for my joy. I'm looking for my forgiveness. I'm looking for my salvation. Come on now. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I know something is telling me it's real, and I'll just start walking and looking and praising and confessing and thanking God for it, because one day it's going to be fulfilled. Doesn't matter what critics say. Doesn't matter what anybody says. It only matters what his word says. Look at Joshua. Before there were ever one rock come down. One rock. Joshua walked around the walls shouting the victory. Excuse me. Under the blood of bulls and goats. It's a type, it's a shadow, it wasn't the fulfillment. We're not under the smoke of the blood and bulls and goats. We're under the perfect lamb. Yes. Excuse me. So how much more can we shout and confess and believe before we see one stone fall? Before we see one sand come off of that mountain, one grain. Before we see anything, we're seeing the unseen realms. Amen. We're looking to the unseen, for by faith, he saw the victory. He knew the walls were coming down. He armed his men. He walked around and around 7 days. What doing? Because he was looking to the unseen. It was a promise God made. How much more can you walk around a wheelchair? Hello. We had Sister Liz Butts here that walked one up here one day. It's testimony. She walked one up here one day and left it at the altar, never got back in it again. Went from a wheelchair to a walker to a cane to completely well. What was it? It was an action that led to a reaction. It led to faith being released. Amen. What was it when Sister Lana went around here? It was a release of faith. Even though she may not have felt it, and she didn't feel one difference, I don't know. Maybe she didn't feel one bit of difference. Didn't matter. She really realized in that moment, I'm leaning on the arms of my beloved. What have I to fear? What am I to dread? And it put such a courage in her, that little frail woman, to jump out of that pew and begin to run around this building. And there was a release of faith that spoke and said, amen, Miriam, your enemy is dead. What was that? That was the creative word of Almighty God that went to some battered up lungs and made a new creation. How much more can we walk around cancer with our hands up? Thank you, Lord. You brought deliverance. Thank you, Lord, you brought deliverance to our brother Ron. Thank you, Lord, you brought deliverance to our sister Danette. Thank you, Lord, you brought deliverance to our sister Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, you brought deliverance to our sister Alana. I'm praising for what he has already done and what he's going to do. Before I see one sign, before I see one stone, before I see one sand fall off the mountain, we ought to have something on the inside of us, a pulsation, and say, hey, I'm not under the blood of bulls and goats. It ain't my righteousness. It's God's righteousness. And God's already paid the price. It's in the atonement. By his stripes, I'm healed.
It's already done. How much more can you walk around sin shouting the victory? Oh, we need to turn the wheels on the devil. He's been walking around you shouting the victory. It's time some of you start walking around him shouting the victory. Amen. And when we see him who is invisible, when that pulsation comes to your heart and begins to pulsate, I am the Lord God who heals all thy diseases. I am by his stripes, I am healed. It is finished. It is done. It is already over with. Why should I worry when giants come calling my name? Because my God is greater. My enemies scatter. They know the battle's already done. They know it's already finished. They know there's more with you than there's against you. He's just trying to bluff you and say he's greater. He's not greater. My God's greater. He's not more. My God's more. I said it before and I'll say it again. There's more joy than there is depression. Hallelujah. There's more faith than there is fear. Come on. There's more God than there is a devil. Let that pulsation arise. God is God. It's finished. It's over. It's already done. Stand to our feet. Hallelujah. When you can see that, everything else weakens away. Won't you let him come by and pull some weeds out tonight? Pull some unbelief out. Pull that depression out. That anxiety and that fear, sickness and that sin. Let him weed your garden. He wants flowers to grow there. He wants roses to bloom. The rose of Sharon, the bright morning star. He wants the sun to be able to shine upon it. Let him have his way. Let's bow our hearts. Father, let the faith be released tonight. Faith to believe all things are possible. To believe that it's finished. It's already done. It's over. The battle's won. Satan wants to come and lie and bluff us and say it ain't so. Doctors' reports rises up. We thank God for doctors. Lord, we always turn to your word. Your word says it. I believe it. Father, be some expression tonight to our faith to believe it's already done. Father, I know there'd be some weeds that need to be pulled up, Lord. If you see any in my garden, Lord, pull them up, Lord, I pray. Lord, I only want seeds that you have planted by your mercy and your grace. Bless your people tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.